We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Private Practice podcast. Joined today by my good friends Chris and Daisy Chavers. They are a husband and wife duo with deep roots in the tattooing world. Chris brings decades of experience to the craft, known for his precision, bold style, and deep commitment to the art of tattooing. Daisy specializes in delicate florals, fine line work, and cosmetic and paramedical tattooing, offering everything from scar camouflage to restorative procedures. Together, they have built a reputation for excellence, creativity, and care in every piece of work that they do. Daisy is now expanding her creative expression beyond the tattoo studio and into the world of writing. Her latest venture blends humor, heart, and hard-won wisdom, offering stories that connect, heal, and inspire. They are the co-owners of Red Rabbit Tattoo. And if you see my tattoos on the podcast, or you're one of the people who sometimes comes up to me in general public and says, I'm just trying to see if I can match your tattoos to your body from your profile picture, which isn't creepy at all, they've done most of them. So the reason that I have tattoo artists on this podcast today is because, you know, this is mostly an entrepreneurial podcast, and I think you guys are the epitome of being entrepreneurs because you've owned small businesses for most of your life, especially while you two have been together. And I want to just disclaim that we're going to talk about some hard stuff today because Chris and Daisy lived in Asheville, had a business here, and Hurricane Helene really threw a wrench into those plans and destroyed a lot of what was physically standing. So I think having a conversation about how the hell do we regroup, pivot, and adapt after experiencing a once-in-a-lifetime unexpected chaotic event. So thanks for being on here. I want to start with just kind of filling in the gaps a little bit. Tell the audience, and you guys can figure out who's speaking. I know you're going to speak over each other. It's inevitable. Just a little bit about the here and now and how we got here. So the here and now, you live in Savannah, Georgia. You moved there to open up a second shop and split time between here and Asheville. That was the goal. Yep. Then what happens?
So that was going along pretty much as planned. We definitely weren't focusing on Savannah as much as we probably should have, but we had Asheville. So we felt like we didn't have anything to worry about. And it's been hard. It's been hard getting established in a new city. And when you've been successful for a long time, I think that you forget how hard it can be. And I think as you get older, it gets harder. So we were literally riding up to Asheville last September, having a conversation about if this was so hard, maybe we weren't supposed to be in Savannah. And maybe we needed to go back to Asheville and just be comfortable again. And 3 days later, our shop got washed away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, people start asking immediately, you know, a week after, days after, what are y'all going to do? What are you going to do? Like, you don't pivot from something that you had never even entertained the thought of.
No.
You don't pivot from that quickly. You spend a certain amount of time in actual just denial. Then you sit there just almost like refusing to do anything because it wasn't supposed to happen and it wasn't how you planned it. And And, you know, you've got family and friends that are like, oh, but, you know, you guys had no idea that something like this could happen. Well, yeah, that's the problem. Right. But you do also sit feeling like you're somehow at fault for failing also, which is really hard.
Majorly hard. Survivor's guilt times a million, right? Like, because Chris, sorry.
I mean, I just constantly think, you know, not only just about the physical aspect of having the studio, that's whatever. I mean, for me, I constantly am thinking about, you know, half of our clientele, you know, instantly lost jobs, you know, and then, you know, and as of last month, you know, we're still hearing about another wave of people leaving Asheville because those jobs didn't come back, you know, that did stick around. And, you know, now they're having to broaden their horizons and pivot. And, you know, that's hard. It's hard to, you know, say, please come get a tattoo when, you know, they're, you know, don't have jobs and haven't had jobs and have just been piecing together anything they can for a long time.
You're in survival mode. Yes. You're in survival mode. You need to rely on doing tattoo work to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Most of your clientele who lived here is either moving away from the city because for those of you who don't know, who are listening or who knew very briefly in the blip of the news cycle, Asheville is still in shambles. Like, we have parts of it that are coming back, but this is a long fucking journey of rebuilding, and entire sections of Western North Carolina were washed away in the blink of an eye. And you know, it's weird to talk about this now, but we're almost at a year, which is wild. But I was standing on the bridge the day that the hurricane happened with about 200 other people, no cell phone service or Wi-Fi or ability to communicate, watching the French Broad River wash everything away in its path. And one of the things that I saw it wash away was your shop. And I thought to myself, one, holy shit, I hope they're not in there. Two,
and we almost were.
I don't know if they know this is even happening because we can't communicate. No, we didn't. Three, I was just thinking about people's livelihoods being lost in the blink of an eye. The things that they worked so fucking hard for, to watch restaurants, bars, little art galleries, your tattoo shop, food trucks, just all flowing down the river in a matter of seconds.
People's homes. I mean.
Well, and these things are, you know, you wish that it was a business but a small business is a culmination of a life. Because everything that you're doing as an entrepreneur, and especially a very small business, you're building, it's little building blocks.
Yeah, it's not just the people that open the business. It's the people that really support the business. That's the small business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys had put roots down here for almost a decade, building that community and, you know, it's a hard thing to conceptualize because it's one of those things that never should have happened. And I think until someone lives through a climate disaster, because that's what it was, it's considered a once in 2000 year ecological event. You really don't have an understanding of how impactful it is and how traumatizing it is collectively to the community, because our news cycle moves so quickly that Asheville was on the news cycle for maybe a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're on to the next thing, the next atrocity, the next tragedy, whatever's happening in this current iteration of America. And it just gets lost. And I have so many people in my life who are like, you guys are fine, right? Like, everything's back to normal. And I'm like, this is Hurricane Katrina level-esque, and we don't think we will ever be back to normal in our lifetimes.
But it's kind of amazing. Well, you know, after the fact, we look at, you know, we remember we were in business, that we had a new business when the towers fell, 9/11, you know, the 2008 financial crisis. I had cancer.
I mean, we've been through
COVID. How many more, you know, disasters can people go through? It's starting to wonder.
But, you know, it's weird because there's a lot of time that like things happen to you, but they happen to you. And so you sort through. But when it is an entire community, you can't get over that as quickly as you would something that just personally happened to you.
Yeah. Everyone was affected in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's ripple effects from that. Yeah. And there will be impact for generations here, and to people who moved away, who were directly or somewhat directly impacted. So that brings me to the pivot place, right? Because Daisy, you alluded to the fact, like, how do you pivot from this? Like, how the hell do you pick up the pieces? And I guess for you two at this stage, like, this becomes the next iteration in the chapter of, like, what do we do next? Because you clearly are both unbelievably talented. But as human beings, we only have so much capacity to carry this like burden and this load of how do we restart and get our footing back underneath us.
Depends on the day. I mean, There are days when I personally get up and I'm like, what if I'm just done? Can I just be done? Can I opt out now? Mm. Because I don't, it's very, very, very hard. For a while, it almost felt like we were just plugging holes constantly.
Yeah.
You know, and we were able to get a small loan to tide us over. And so then you start like, well, could we invest a little bit in the business here? Could we improve that? You know, could I take a class here? But it all just feels like a knee-jerk, panicked reaction to just manage to stay afloat. It doesn't feel intentional. It hasn't felt intentional for a year.
Right. How could it? And the reality is that some of the trauma that we experience in events like this, this just doesn't like go away. It's stored in your body. It's stored in your nervous system. A lot of us are still kind of in this dissociated, like, how the hell did that happen? Trying to grapple and come to terms with it. People lost their homes, their lives, their businesses, They're everything, right? So it's real. And then if you're here, you almost have that survivor's guilt of, but I'm okay in these ways, or I've survived this and this and that. And it's just really a mind fuck. So Chris, I know you've been like trying to be as creative as you can in order to figure out like, how do I continue to bring money in? So I know one thing y'all do is you come to Asheville once a month for about a week and you tattoo. But I also understand that a lot of your clientele has left the area because of a lot of different factors, or the economy is playing a big role as well.
I mean, I think half of it is the economy and half of it is, you know, the hurricane.
Yeah.
It's scary, you know, like it's from being a very sought after person a few years ago to the hurricane and the economy kind of happening really at the same time. You know, I went from being booked for just months and months and months to, you know, sure, I'll do, you know, your whatever Pinterest tattoo because I've got a bill to pay. You know, I don't really ever care. I mean, especially for my clientele, I'll do whatever. But it's like a Michelin star restaurant guy, chef going and making a hot dog at a hot dog cart, you know?
Yeah. Well, you lose the passion for it, right? It's like, this is no longer lighting me up and this is not my dream job. This is more like survival and necessity.
Yeah.
And those are very different things.
I mean, it definitely made us think too, and really even like before even the hurricane, we started being like, we need to really start diversifying our income, you know, even just being here in Savannah for the 3 weeks we are. You know, our friend down the street, you know, helped us get our boat captain's license. And we started, you know, running some tours and stuff like that. And we are still so thankful for that opportunity, you know, to have diversified income that's not just tattooing.
Yeah, I mean, we intended for that to kind of be, we called it our mental health job because we're like, you know, we could just get out a few hours a week into nature. It's feels so restorative, good, then we'll just like, whatever we made from that, let's put it in a retirement, you know, account, whatever.
Last month that paid our mortgage.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, we're so happy for it.
And that's one thing I want to highlight for those of you listening who are entrepreneurial. Like, sometimes it is this roller coaster of emotions and just plugging the holes, like Daisy was saying, and figuring out all of the different ways to bring in revenue. And I think one thing that scares a lot of people is, like, for those of us who have gone into small business ownership because we wanted the freedom, the autonomy, the creativity, we didn't want to punch a clock, we do give up certain elements of security for that. Certain Absolutely. Elements like retirement, certain elements yeah. like health insurance for the most part. Like, there are a lot of trade-offs here to create this lifestyle where we have more autonomy and independence. And when something catastrophic happens, it's like, holy fuck, do I go back to something that I'm going to hate, but is going to give me some semblance of peace of mind?
Yeah.
And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go and network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on or not given clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's helloalma.com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit that's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Hania. And then in 2026, we have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway.
Well, and for us, like, we've been out of the workforce for so long that it really does not feel like there is a place for us to go.
For sure.
I mean, after the hurricane here in Savannah, I literally tried to go and get a job at 5 or 6 different tattoo shops here in Savannah, and no one would give me the time of day or call back. And, you know, whatever the reason, you know, whether they don't have the business or they felt intimidated with someone with such experience, I don't know, you know, no one's ever going to be like, whatever.
Sure. I mean, I joke around a lot that I'm not employable anymore, and I don't think that I am, because I think when you own your own business for so long, you get used to doing things your way and being able to really have control over the situation.
I mean, I've always said I'm a better boss than I am an employee, because I treat everything like it's my business, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
And other employees don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get that collective buy-in a lot of the time, even if you're the best boss in the world.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the creative things that you are doing. Daisy, I know you started writing a lot lately, and that's been an outlet for you creatively, but it sounds like it's also a place of passion. So can you share a little bit about that?
It really is. I had always wanted to write, and I had always talked myself out of it. And this year kind of opened up a lot of things and made me realize that, like, I have some things to say about some things. And when I started putting it down to paper, I was shocked, because all of a sudden, like, I'm driving down the street recording idea after idea, page after page after page of things are just, like, falling out of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this feels the most real that anything has felt in a year.
Mm. And I think really a lot of that even stemmed from Spain or Italy.
For sure. I mean, you know, we went to Italy to one of your retreats in a certain headspace. And I came out of that just like really lit up. I felt like I needed to reclaim myself. I felt like I really had to kind of like find me again. And of course, that was 3 weeks before the storm.
Right. Yeah. You came back from the Italy summit excited and ready to like take on the world. And then 3 weeks later, Hurricane Helene happens.
Totally. Yeah.
And now,
really, with Spain, you know, a few months ago, we did come back, and luckily, there wasn't any natural disaster. So we could take that momentum and energy, and I think.
But, you know, it's hard because, like, I've chosen in my life to have multiple careers, and I've never had a moment's insecurity in it. I've always felt like when I'm done with something, I'm done with it. But you get questioned so much in society. Like, hey, well, you were doing this. Why are you doing that anymore? Why are you hopping over here? Why? And so I've always felt like my whole life I've had to explain myself when I didn't feel like I needed to give an explanation.
Sure. Well, I think society especially questions women in their career choices. And then if you bring in the ADHD component, and the career hopping, it's like, I'm following my interests, right? Because you used to own a salon. And then I always knew you as a owner of a salon and a hairstylist. Then all of a sudden it was like, I'm closing my shop and I'm actually going to start tattooing. And
I think that was from an injury that caused that.
Right. But there was, you know, I think that's a cool pivot point of being like, I have so many different ways that I'm creative and how I can be using these skills for the public. And I think that's the part that we lose access to when we experience major trauma is like you start to even question rudimentary decisions because your system is so fucking much in shock.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I saw that even when she tore a rotator cuff after doing hair or while doing hair. And, you know, you just see your established clientele go away and, you know, not even like have any contacts because you're not doing their hair anymore.
Well, and what, you know, I didn't know that I had ADHD for a really long time. So I've survived life by hyper-focusing.
Yep.
And I can, you know, I'll really put all my eggs in this basket and make it like my life's work to keep that basket together, you know, and with doing hair, you know, like I built this beautiful salon. I sold it. I moved to Asheville. I built a salon again. Like it was very, very closely tied to my identity.
For sure.
And then, you know, tattooing, man, you spend the first 5 years of your tattoo career feeling like
humbled.
art in a very, very, very different way.
I'm sure. And I'm sure it doesn't help when you're married to someone who is unbelievably talented, but doesn't shy away from letting you know how talented he is.
Totally. Well, and I have a daughter that is extremely talented.
She also tattoos.
That also tattoos. So yeah, it was a place, but you know, it felt like a lesson. It felt like a place that I needed to be. It felt like a place that I needed to struggle through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've always looked at every single thing that I do as like I look at people. You meet people for a reason. You do something for a reason.
For sure.
And when you need to move on to something else, it's for a reason too.
Absolutely. I think that's the ADHD experience, unfortunately. It's what really lights me up until it no longer does. And then once I'm done with it, I need to be completely done with it and completely step away from it. So I know that this is just a challenging time right now for both of you. And I think that it's going to be messy for a little while you kind of come out from under the weight of what happened. So what do you anchor into right now with that being said? And maybe the answer is like, I don't know.
Survival?
Yeah.
Honestly, survival.
Yeah. I mean, for the last few months, we've both been, I think, just kind of obsessed in doing books.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to like have something, you know, paying the bills and really a passionate thing to do.
Well, and it's also looked like I don't have to wait for somebody to call me or book an appointment. I can just sit here and I can make this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've self-published now like 3 books in like a month. So yeah. Again, let's go back to ADHD. A very ADHD experience, but you're putting them out into the world. And I think that's very brave and very vulnerable. As someone who is writing a book, that it is the most vulnerable experience I've ever had in my entire life. And so self-publishing is an income stream. Chris, you've created some coloring books of some of your designs that you put on an Etsy shop, correct?
On Amazon also. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 70% of books sold in the world goes through Amazon. So.
Right. So, I mean, these are income streams. So we've got book writing, we've got coloring books, we've got captaining these boats and doing these boat tours. We're still doing tattooing.
I'll sell my socks if someone will pay for
it. Apparently Chris is going to be on OnlyFans. So we'll include the link in the show notes.
I don't remember the last time I wore socks, actually. Slid against the end.
I think that means they're it's an extra special offer then. So you need to put that in there. Like, these were very rarely worn. I know it's tough, and I love both of you guys, and I know that it's a struggle, but I also see a lot of resilience and just trying to figure out what the fuck comes next and how to just continuously move towards that. And I give you a lot of credit, because a lot of people would have honestly given up from this.
I mean, what else are you going to do? You got to keep moving forward. I mean, I remember when you were like, I think I'm about to make my own private practice. I'm like, absolutely. And you were scared shitless.
I was. Yeah. Some idiot kept thinking like, doubt yourself, do it anyway. And then here we are today. Yeah. I didn't see this coming. And I think so often we doubt, we do have self-doubt, and we do have that imposter syndrome and that fear of like, how will this be received? Will it be successful? And instead of letting us talk ourselves out of moving forward, doing the thing anyway, and really just embracing all of the experience as not just a good, not just a bad, but acknowledging how beautiful this journey has been. And even when it's messy, I really wouldn't want to have it any other way.
I mean, at this point, I just try to look at like any of our, you know, maybe it's a failure business, or, you know, just a mistake, as, you know, we are School of Hard Knocks. We didn't go to college. We've learned through every single one of those mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and one of my very good friends is an architect that spent however many years that is, forever, and a lot of money to become an architect. You know, like what worked out better, you know, at the same, you know, we're almost 50 years old, and, you know, like the mistakes made versus the money spent, who was better? I don't know. I think it's all about the same, really.
I don't think it's about the things that we care about, the things that we're passionate about, our values. For me, freedom and autonomy is paramount. So the ability to work from home, the ability to work from anywhere, the ability to like say, no, I don't want to do anything today. I think that for me is more valuable than anything else. So I just
today, right now, I will sell you my socks.
We will. Yeah. We're going to have show notes with links to Chris's feet pics and socks. So
I got a pedicure just the other day. It's
good. I have the utmost confidence that you two are going to navigate this and weather this storm, no pun intended. And, you know, for those of you listening, if you're like, damn, Patrick's tattoos are pretty cool, or these two seem like a cool couple, you can go to Savannah or to Asheville and still get tattooed. And I promise you that the end result will be absolutely worth it. And then including all the other things that you guys are doing. So we will have all of that in the show notes. But honestly, you know, I just want you to try as hard as you can to just sit with the fact that you guys have endured something that most people will never endure in their entire lifetimes, and you're still here. So it's just anchoring into like connection and community and how to kind of dig ourselves out.
Yeah. You've definitely helped us, Patrick.
So much.
Thank you. I always love when my guests just continue to build my cult following for me. So thanks for that. But in all seriousness,
now, speaking of cults,
Yeah, that can be another income stream for sure.
Well, I mean, Daisy's second book just came out today, actually.
Yes, it's like,
I'll really talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, wait, what? I grew up in a cult?
Yeah.
And I would say it was in the last few months that I finally sat down one day and was like, you know what? Yeah, you fucking did grow up in a cult. And I, you know, I was always very gracious and kind. And even the book is very gracious and kind of, you know, the choices that people make. And of course, I was born into it, so it wasn't a choice for me. I had to make the choice to leave.
Right.
But I'm in a vulnerable place right now. My parents don't know that I've written this book. They don't know that it went live today. Right. I'm probably going to get some flack for it. But it also felt super duper liberating to be like, yeah, this was real.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a powerful message that sounds like it needed to get out there.
Available on Amazon.
What a good hype, man. I mean, we will have links.
He's going to edit you out of all of that.
To everything that they are creating, despite the fact that they did not give me any of those links for their bio. So we will have those, so they're easily accessible. We'll also have ways that you can book tattoos and get in touch with them for that as well. So what would you want to, just final thoughts, anything that you want to leave the listeners with at all? Or for yourselves?
At the end of the day, I would not do anything differently. Like, being an entrepreneur is something I've never questioned. Doesn't mean that it's for everyone.
Absolutely not.
You have to really know where you thrive or where you're going to be your most creative. But still no regrets. And still, like you said, I see us pivoting. It's just taken longer than I think we wanted it to take.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, again, I just want to reiterate that most people do not experience the stuff that we experienced last September. And it's going to just take time to work to get your nervous system back into a place where you have more capacity, your executive functioning is working a little bit better. You feel like you're able to make choices that make more sense and in alignment. Right now, it's really just like survival.
Absolutely.
I find most times we do have or have had to pivot, though, it does end up being a bigger and better thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting, you know?
Leaning into that and trusting that this has happened before, maybe not in this way. Right. But if we can trust that when we've had hardships and hard times, it's ended up working out pretty well because we are resilient and creative and adaptable, and we're going to make it work.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, thank you both for coming on and making the time and sharing a little bit of your story. And I hope this helped and resonated for those of you listening. And again, we'll have all those links in the show notes, so you have access to all of their books, workbooks, coloring books, tattoo information, etc. But thank you both.
Socks.
Yes. Chris's socks.
I don't know where these socks are coming from.
I mean, you might start wearing yours, and then here we, you know, Chris's feet are now on OnlyFans, and here we go.
Do what you got to do.
Oh, man.
Thanks for listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast. New episodes are out on every single Saturday on all major platforms and YouTube. Doubt yourself and do it anyway. We will see you next.